You all know how the Lord, he told Abraham, he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you, right? So any person that would, let's just use Abraham as an example, right? And obviously we know the applicability to us, right? But any man that, therefore, that would bless Abraham, right? It could have been an Egyptian pharaoh, right? It could have been the high priest that blessed Abraham, right? It could have been anyone. Doesn't matter who, right? The Lord didn't say, anyone who believes in me and blesses you, I will bless, right? He said, anyone that blesses you, anyone that blesses you, I will bless. Anyone, right? So that's a really important thing to understand, right? Anyone who blesses you, the Lord says, I will bless, right? Now, is that because of their actions? Think about that for a second. Is God blessing them because of their action? In other words, is God blessing someone because of their works, right? No. God is blessing them because of you, right? God is blessing them because you are his, right? And if you dig into that, right, and you don't have to dig too deep, right, the reason why you are his is because of Jesus, right? So the reason why that person is being blessed is because of the Lord, right? Which is the only reason why anyone would receive anything from God, right? So if an unbeliever would have received blessing of the Lord, right, he's receiving blessing of the Lord because of you, right? According to Christ in you, right? Because if they bless you, they bless him, right? He said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they deny you, they deny me. If they don't listen to you, they're not listening to me, right? So it's such an important thing, right, to understand that concept, because we hear things, we hear people say, well, you know, if you give to somebody, right, if you give to somebody, then you'll receive. But it's not, obviously that's a scripture. That's a truth, right? But you have to explain that, because there are a lot of sizes or faces to that, right? There's a lot of different ways that you can see that. I mean, in other words, there is also a truth here, right? That if you give to an individual, right? If you're a giver to people, Christian or not, right? If you're a giver to people, right? It is easy for worldly people, right? For that matter, even Christians, but I'm saying it is easy for anyone, let's just say it like that, that you give to give to you. Even if they don't want to give to you, they'll give to you, right? Because why? Because you gave to them. It's easy for you to love someone that is not a believer and for them to love you, right? Everybody loves those that love them, right? Generally speaking. So there are a lot of different things that go along with giving and receiving, right? When Paul received the gift, and I believe I believe it was a man, his name was Epaphroditus, but with that name is difficult sometimes to tell if he was a man or a woman, but I think he was a man. So there was a gift that was brought to Paul from the church, right? He gave. And so what Paul said to him was, he says that the gift that he received, that it was a good thing that they gave, and that they gave to his need. Now, if Paul is saying you gave to my need, is he saying Paul, are you saying that you have needs? I thought you were a godly man. Like, you have needs, and you had need that somebody would give you something, right? And then by the same token, then he talks about later on how he abounds and how he has all things, but you see clearly he's saying that they gave unto my need. So obviously he had a need, right? But so and we understand obviously that I will encourage you in this, that there's been a number of things that have been taught, like I think on and off by either myself or Pastor Mike, and I would encourage you to listen. I think if I'm not mistaken, I wasn't gonna say super abundance, but I think it's super excessive was one of the messages that you have out there. And then there was another message that Pastor Mike just taught actually this morning. not really having everything to do about prosperity, but it just touches, you know, like as I'm saying these things, they do fit together nicely. This morning was more about needs that he was talking about, but so Paul had a need, and the church gave. The church took a collection and delivered that offering through Epaphroditus. And Paul says something interesting, right? And let's just go. I think it's in Philippians. I want to say 4, but let's see. Yeah, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to say right around 17, 15. It's interesting. Can we just start from 13? Because it's a really cool thing that he says. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And it's funny that the same person that said that and wrote that, right, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is the same one that in the very next couple of verses is going to thank them for giving unto his need, right? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you for giving unto my need, right? And people that would be immature or not understand certain things would not get, like, Paul, there must be something I don't understand. Like, how are you saying I can do all things through Christ and then at the same time saying that you have a need and that somebody gave into your need? Like, you needed somebody to give to you, right? Right. So obviously there's a lot of misconceptions that the church has. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in verse number 14, it says, notwithstanding, and he says, I can do everything through Jesus, right? But basically, he's saying, but anyway, it was good that you did what you did. Like, I can do everything, and I have everything, and I abound, and all the power of God is in me, right? But he says, but notwithstanding, you have done well that you communicated with me, and that communication doesn't mean you did well to come talk to me. You did well to communicate with me, and in other words, that you received from me and you gave, right? You received from me and you gave, right? I've been teaching you, I've been talking to you, I've been giving of my time, I have been offering to you, right, everything that the Lord has been showing me, and you communicate. You reciprocated is what he's talking about, right? He says, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction, right? And that their affliction is his need. And obviously, you know, there are times where that could mean sickness, right? You could be sick, right? And that's fine. But anyway, it says, verse number 15 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, no one reciprocated with me concerning giving and receiving, right? So what he's saying is, right, for a person that is giving to you, right, it is a right thing to receive from those that you give to, right? Even the world does that. Concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So he's saying nobody else did this except the Philippian church. Nobody else. Now, obviously, you can imagine all of the places where Paul preached, all of the places that he preached throughout Asia, all the places where he preached as he was going. He says, and no one communicated with me except you. No one did that except you. Now, he's going somewhere. For even, verse number 16, for even in Thessalonica, speaking about the Thessalonians, right, he wrote, obviously, to the Thessalonians, and you can tell from his letters to the Thessalonians that he had, you know, several interactions with them. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So he's, the picture, and I'm not positive about this, but in his picture here, what he's saying is, I'm over there preaching to the Thessalonians, and the church of Philippi is giving to me, right? It's an interesting thing, right? That the church of Philippi would be giving unto him. But he said, you sin once and again, and over again, unto my necessity, right? So he had a need and they gave unto him, right? He had a need and they gave unto him. Not because I desire, and this is important, I think, for what the point that the Lord wants to make. Verse number 17 is, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit may abound to your account. Now that's an important thing to understand. He's not saying, because this is where things go south, this way, I guess, right? Because I went south this way. But this is where things get a little ugly, right? Because then people start doctrines or teachings that say, see what he's saying? When you give to a believer because of your giving, right? It's either, they'll either say it's because of your giving, or it's because of your giving to a minister, or your giving to a church, right? When you give to a church, fruit abounds to your account. But and that is, that there is an element of truth in that, but it is incomplete, right? It's incomplete. Because the blessing that is received, right? In other words, the way that you are given to when you give to, in this case, Paul, right? It's through the power of God in Paul, right? By God in Paul and because of Paul, right? Which is you know, I'm not going to go into all that because I don't know everything concerning that, but you can see the resemblance there between because it is Paul and because it is God in Paul, right? And he, watch what he says. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, pleasing to God, right? And then he says in verse number 19, but my God, now he didn't say, because you gave to me, in other words, it is your giving, in other words, your action is what's making you receive from God. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by, which is really important because we quote that verse and we fly right by the by Christ Jesus, right? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? So Paul possesses the glory of God, right? Possesses the glory of God, and Christ is working in and through Paul, right? And because what he's saying is, because you have given unto me, right? Because of the glory that is in me, my God will supply your need, right? My God shall supply your need. So what he's telling them is a bunch of things. He's saying, you did good in sharing with me. What you did was right. You gave once and again unto my necessity. What you were doing, not just in your giving, because the Lord does not want people to give out of compulsion. The Lord does not want people to give out of necessity, right? But God loves, he says, right? What does he say? But God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, one who gives because of blessing, right? One who gives out of, because of blessing, right? To give, in other words, an individual that understands, I have been receiving, Lord, and it is my pleasure to give where I have received, right? And because you're giving, right, to a believer, the Lord he'll reciprocate that, right? Why? Because you have done it unto one of these, right? Because you have done it unto one of these, then the Lord reciprocates with you. But keep in mind, and it's extremely important to understand, because Donald Trump would give $3 million to a Reformed church doesn't mean he's saved. Doesn't mean salvation's working in him. Right? If he's an unbeliever, which I don't know, right? For the example, we're assuming he's not, right? It doesn't mean that all any of these things are true for him. But the one thing that is true, right, is that he will be blessed for what he's doing. But why is he blessed? Because of his giving? Because then the thing to do is, the way to have salvation working with you is just to give money to people, right? But the righteousness... The righteousness and any attempt of men to righteousness is filthy. It's no good. It's refuse. It's to be done away with, right? It was done away with for that purpose, right? It's no good. It was eliminated because it could not bring anyone to anything. But the thing is, there are things that I think in the past, you know, we've like how do you explain men giving unto you, right? Because give and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will men give unto your bosom, right? Will men give unto your bosom? So it's, and I don't know everything about that verse, but the thing is, there are things that you can see throughout many verses, right? And things that the Lord teaches in Scripture and things that we've talked about, that here's one true, solid truth that we know. No one receives from God except through faith in Jesus, right? No one receives from God except through faith in Jesus. But there is a principle at work, right? And is at work in the life of anyone, that anyone who blesses you is blessed. That anyone who blesses you is blessed, right? So that's the truth. And you can't discount that and leave that aside, right? Because it's still through faith in Jesus, because the reason why they are blessed is because of whose faith? In other words, it was because of someone's faith. It was because of Abraham's faith in God that anyone that blesses him is blessed. So it is unchanging that anyone who receives only through faith in Jesus, right? But it doesn't change the fact of certain things that people can see. And listen, I know for sure, because it's happened multiple times in my life, right? Where you see some obvious result when you do something. So you follow this teaching that says that anytime you give, you know, you give to a church, you give to this, you give to that, that you will receive. Like, I remember this one time, we were at this conference, and I remember, I believe the speaker was actually even talking out of Philippians 4, which for people that want to talk about prosperity just from their giving and don't acknowledge that they don't teach it completely, right? That it is through the riches of the glory of God through by Jesus Christ. But they just talk about that it's the act of giving. So they make it seem like it's the action, like givers just prosper, right? But the interesting thing though is that, you know, and I've always remembered that, and I could never kind of explain it in my mind. Like, to me, the minister that was speaking, I had heard a lot of cool things from him before, things about the Lord Jesus, things about the gospel, right? So we had gone to this church in Nyack to hear him speak, right? I mean, this is a lot of years ago. And we were there, we were going through, financially, we were going through a really tough time. But nonetheless, we wanted to go, and we went. And as he's talking, I'm like, man, like, I want to get that cassette. And believe me, the cassette was not something to buy now, right? It was not a good message, right? But at the time, I'm like, man, like, I want to get that message. But I don't remember all of the specifics. Ms. Kim would remember other things that I'm maybe forgetting right now. But I remember doing something. I don't know if it's that we gave the rest of what we had or something in an offering or something that we did. And out of nowhere, and like, it was just me and her sitting way in the back of this auditorium, and we just said to each other, like, wow, like, we want to get that. I don't know if it was a series or that cassette tape at the time. That's how long ago it was. It was cassettes, right? And it was funny that out of nowhere, here comes an usher at the end of the service, and he comes, like, this is a large place. He comes right to us, walks in through the row, or as we were leaving, I don't remember when he did it. And he just said, oh, here, this is for you. And he hands us the cassette tapes, right? But the thing is, you know, that and it's hard for me sometimes, like, Lord, like, I know that was something that you did. Like it seemed impossible. Like, how in the heck, out of everybody that was there, we just got singled out, like, out of nowhere? We weren't the only ones there for the first time. This was an evening thing. It was a special event that there were lots of people that came from different areas, right? And sometimes when things happen in believers' lives, we develop doctrines and teachings, but yet we don't acknowledge the God that has given us the power to wealth. Like, we see things that are happening and we don't quite understand everything, but we develop these things that say, oh, I did this and therefore this happened. But that's the wrong stinking way to go. I did this and this happened. It's not what you did. It's like, what did Jesus do that is causing this to occur? But we don't default to that. The mind of the Christian, most Christians default to, what did I do that caused this, right? But the thing to look at is, what happened? But Lord Jesus, what did you do? Because if it was God, right? And I'm not, obviously you can tell by my unsurety, I don't know 100% that was God. But it always troubled me because it really felt like it was the Lord, right? I got all, because I got sentimental doesn't mean anything, because I used to cry watching Little House on the Prairie. But there was like, I just was like, whoa, like that hit me hard. Like, I was like, wow, like, okay. So there was something, and the whole thing obviously was about prosperity, but teaching on prosperity is fine if we understand what that means, right? Like Pastor Mike, he quoted a verse out of Psalms, and I think I got it here because I wanted to share it with you, because I don't think he shared the actual Psalm, but it's Psalm 118, verse number 25. this is David writing, and he says, save now, I beseech you, O Lord, I beseech you, send now prosperity, right? Like that's a really cool verse, right? That David is saying, send now prosperity. Obviously, he's not saying rain down manna from heaven. He's not saying the physical manna, right? He's not saying rain down, you know, money or Roman currency. He's saying send down prosperity. He's calling the Lord his prosperity, right? And actually in the previous verse to that, he's actually talking about the Lord sending salvation, right? So and actually he said there in verse number 25, the beginning, he says, save now. Save now, he's talking about salvation. So he calls the Lord his prosperity, right? But it's a cool thing to be able to see, you know, as we're growing, right? Because we don't know, we don't have all the answers yet, right? We have the answers in us, but we don't know all the answers up here. But it's good to see, you know, as we're growing in the understanding of prosperity, right? How you're able then to make sense of things, right? Let me show you another verse. Let me show you another verse. You know, and the prevalent thing, can I tell you something before I even go to another verse? The prevalent thing, because I was almost going to go, and then I stopped, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where it says, that has been a really predominant thing in my mind for a while now, in verse number 18, I believe, or 17, where he says that it is God that gives you the power to get wealth. You, in other words, don't you see how close that is to what happens in the church? We prosper and don't exactly understand why the church is prospering, right? So literally, like, people could be prospering because the power of God is working in and through them. So, but even though they're prospering because of the power of God in them, they attribute their prosperity to giving during an offering, right? And even though, listen, you could have gave to a church, like you could have had a circumstance where you needed to pay a bill. And I would not recommend this, but let's say your mortgage is $3,000 and you have $2,000. And you're just, you know what, Lord, like, whatever, I'm trusting you and you're praying all wrong and all messed up, but you go ahead and you give $2,000 to a ministry that is preaching the gospel. And then all of a sudden, I mean, these are things that are real that have happened to people, right? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, somebody gives you a check or you get something in the mail, 10 grand, and you're able to pay, you know, your mortgage, and then you have plenty left over. So what happens there? So what do we do? Do we attribute everything that happens when we prosper and we have built homes and our cattle have prospered and we have built this and we have many cars and we have done that and all of this prosperity is going on? In our ignorance, we attribute our prosperity not to the power of God in us, not to the Lord working in and through us, but we attribute it to the giving, right? And we teach our children, give and it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And then we don't say the man part, but we just say that if that's all you do, you just give. And then we raise children and we raise adults then, and we raise churches that are saying, give and it'll come back to you. But there's an enormous piece missing, which is Jesus, right? That we don't know how to make sense of all of it, right? So what we do is we see something happening by the power of God. We see something happening by the power of God. You have given to a ministry that you have been sharing with, and you received from God, right? You were blessed because you blessed the blessed, right? And you yourself could saved or not saved, right? But you received. So we attribute it, instead of attributing it to the power of God, instead of understanding things like Deuteronomy 8:18 that say it is God that gives you the power to get wealth. That means, is there any way for sorrowful, I almost says sour, right? In other words, riches without sorrow to come to you come no other way than through the Lord, right? Plenty of men can make money, but they're going to make it by their own efforts, right? But men that make money, that are made wealthy and rich by the power of God, which has no sorrow, right? If the power of God is increasing you in wealth, right, that is not burdensome to you whatsoever. Not at all, right? And just like anything that comes from God on the inside of you is not burdensome unto you. Just like everything that comes from the grace of God abounding in you, which is what we're going to go in a second, right? Because why? Because he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound, may be bountiful. bountiful to every good work. And it's funny because those are the words that Paul uses in many cases. I believe he used it in the case of the Corinthians too, where he says, I sent men to prepare the bounty. In other words, I have heard of your generosity. I have heard of what you wanted to do. So therefore, he said, I sent men ahead of time because I didn't want to get there. I think it was with the Macedonians, to get there with the Macedonians and find you that your gift, that your bounty, he kept talking about, that your bounty is not ready. And that word bounty there is also translated literally from that context, that your blessing is not ready. And I don't want you to give. I don't want you to give out of covetousness. I want you to give, he says, out of blessing. Right? Why? Because when you give, and he said, and that's where he quotes, because God loves a cheerful giver. So funny, people read that and say, you know what? I'm sending down the mob to pressure you and collect the protection money, because if I get there and you don't have it, we're going to rough you up, right? That's not what he's saying there. He said he did not want them to be ashamed. Therefore, he was giving them. They were the ones that came forward and said, we want to do this. So instead of him showing up, he said, with these people, and he says, I didn't want that to happen where you become ashamed that I know you want to do this, but what about if you can't at the time? What about if you use your money to buy goat's milk? I don't know what the heck people spent money on, right? But let's say they spent their money, and now he gets there, and now it's awkward, right? So he says, you know what? Before I even get there, I'm sending people ahead so that what you do, you can do cheerfully, so that the blessing that you desire to bless me with is done what? Cheerfully, right? So it's just funny, as you put things together, you're able to see why would Paul want people that want to give correctly, right? Because you know what? It's a very different thing. It's a very different thing, right? When you desire to give a gift to someone that you received from somebody telling you, you know what, I feeling pressured, like if you have not given an offering in the last month, you're going to hell. Well, if you give there, it's not exactly you're giving because of blessing, you're giving by compulsion, right? And that's obviously not the way you ever give to anybody, right? Like I don't let people call me up on the phone and pressure me into buying stuff, right? Listen, if you can't wait, and it has to be right now, then I'm probably not gonna buy it, right? Because if you're gonna pressure me to say you have to do it right now or else you're gonna lose it, the majority of the time, I'm probably not gonna do it, right? Even if it sounds like the best thing ever, right? Why? Because you're desiring to pressure me to do it, right? So, and unfortunately, there is still, I'm not saying that how prevalent it is, I don't know, but I know that there were many times, right, where you would hear things and you have heard things from other places where people are pressured to give, or people's needs are used to be able to say the way, see, and this is incorrect, right? To tell someone that the way their needs are met is by them giving to you, right, is not the, and it's not, again, You could be a preacher of the gospel that preaches accurately, right? And you're a child of God, and somebody gives unto you, and then they receive. But again, to say that the reason why, that the way to get your needs met, in other words, if you're having financial trouble, and believe me, I don't know how many of you this happened to, but I was definitely there, and if it's just because of my own ignorance why I was there, then that's fine. But what I was understanding for years is if I'm having financial difficulty, it's because I have not been given enough. But I haven't been given enough because I've been having financial difficulty, right? I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure that out, right? So the way it always equated in my mind is the reason why my continued financial difficulty, in other words, the reason because why my difficulty continues is because I am not a big giver. And if I just change that one thing, which I tried many times to do, even to the point of the need of my own family, right? Even to that point. Right? Where it was about groceries or giving, and I would choose the giving over the groceries, right? Because that's what I was understanding. I'm not gonna blame it on the person that was teaching, but I'm just gonna say that's what I was getting from it, right? That's how it worked. But that's not how it works, right? That's not how prosperity works, and that's not how financial problems work, right? Your problems financially do not get resolved by you giving to a minister of the gospel. Now, is it possible that you can receive when you give to a minister of the gospel? Is it possible that you receive if you gave to Abraham? Is it possible that you receive if you give to a Christian? Yes, it is, but that's not the cause of your need, and that's not how you fix your problem with your need, right? So what happens? We see things occur and we misunderstand. We misunderstand why things have happened, but when you have certain things down, solid, establishing truths, right? And that's why the Lord teaches you things. And I'm gonna say slowly because I'm just gonna say for myself, it takes me time to learn things, right? So he teaches you one thing because you need to know A and B before you learn G and H, right? You need to understand this. Because if you can understand this and you know that I am the one that gives you the power to get wealth, right? Then you understand the source of your prosperity, that the finished work of Jesus Christ, right, is the source. In other words, it was from where my prosperity came. Through what he finished. It was from where my prosperity came. Do I have the Spirit of God in me? Do I have the grace of God in me? Yes, yes, I do. But I know where and I know why I have the Spirit of God. I know why it is. It's because of what he did that I have who I have. It is because of what he did that I have what I have, right? So let's look at this again. I think we were in Philippians. It says, actually, we had finished reading verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? And it's funny because verse number 20, he says, and now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever, amen. Like, we know, right, that that's not like a cool way to end the sentence. That he's saying that because to God be the glory. He's saying, for your needs being met. To God be the glory for his needs being met. Because it's not me making you prosper. It's not because you gave unto my personality or my specific ministry. It's that you gave unto me and I have God. And therefore, the Lord will look out for you because you looked out for me. Right? That's basically what he's saying, right? In Corinthians, and we touched on this quickly, and we'll go there in a second. I think it's around... It's 2 Corinthians 9. And I just want to remind you, I don't remember right now what the name of the message was called. I don't know if it was the reason for our prosperity, if it was another recent message, but I brought out there Hezekiah. I believe it was Hezekiah. And how he was a godly king. In other words, the way the Lord would say it is, he did right in my sight. Right. In other words, he had faith in God. Right. And it was interesting because the Lord said of him, he said to him, you will prosper wherever you go. You will prosper, like I will prosper you in whatever you do and wherever you go. Right. And that is a reality in our lives. Right. That God is able to make all grace. And we'll read that in a second in 2 Corinthians 9. But God is able to make all grace abound to you. All grace abound to you. And the Lord desires for you, right, to have to abound and to be bountiful in everything physical, right? So that you have know that you have all sufficiency in all things, and not in some things, but all sufficiency in all things for every good work. For every good work, so that there's never a lack. So what should the church attribute? What should the church attribute the grace of God abounding in them too, right? In other words, prosperity, right? What should the church around this world, right, attribute prosperity to, right? To God in them, right? Making all grace abound because of what? Because of everything that Christ has done. Actually, in many, many cases, in several that I can remember, it talks about actually that fruitfulness, right? That our fruitfulness, in other words, anything that comes from the grace of God in us, right? Anything that comes from the Spirit of God in us, anything that is life, right? That comes from the inside of us, any power that comes from the inside of us. You know what he says? The Spirit is life to you because of what? Righteousness, right? The Spirit in you is life to you because of what? Righteousness, right? It says that the fruits of the Spirit, it says that they're in all goodness and what? Righteousness and truth, right? So it's interesting that when you begin to understand righteousness and you know the source of your righteousness, how do you get away from Lord, I know the source of my righteousness because you who knew no sin became sin so that I would be the righteousness of God in Christ. So the righteousness that I possess is a gift. That's why Romans calls it the gift of righteousness. So if the righteousness that you have is a gift and the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, in some translations say the fruit of the light, but the fruit of the Spirit, right, is works by righteousness. That is a gift to you. How could we ever as a church attribute prosperity to giving, right? Prosperity is not, does not come by giving. Prosperity comes from Christ in you. Prosperity comes from everything that Jesus has done for you. So he is able, he says, I'm able to make all grace abound to you. So if you're not prospering, right, you have to know what? That God is able to make all grace abound to you. But how does the grace of God abound to you? How does the grace of God that you have in you abound to you? How does the grace of God in you multiply, right? By the knowledge of Christ. By the knowledge of Christ. Grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him. Grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him. So when he says, God, I am able to make all grace abound to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work, including giving to Paul, including giving at Reformed Church, including giving to the poor, including giving to whatever, including doing whatever it is that you want to do. How does the grace of God abound to you? Is it through giving? That's the wrong answer, right? It's not that people haven't seen or received after they gave. It's that the giving is not your source. Is that the giving is not the reason why you received, right? And you can say that, well, you're mincing hairs because it is, right? Because they gave and then they received. No, but it's not, right? It's not. Because if they gave to something that is ungodly, you're partaking in what they have, but it ain't going to be God giving nothing to you, right? So it's not giving, right? It's not giving. And you can say, oh, it's just when you give to Christians. No, it's not that, right? It's that there is a reason why we have what we have. And there is a reason why the power of God works in you. And there's a reason why the grace of God abounds in and through you. And that is only because of knowledge of him. So what the church should attribute prosperity to, right, is to who? To him that it is God that gives me the power to get wealth, right? And why is it that you have God in working through you? Because of everything that Christ has done. So when you have these huge pillars, right? When you have these huge pillars that are holding everything up, even if something comes on and rests on the roof that you don't quite understand, it doesn't matter, it's not gonna ruin the pillars, right? Even when you don't quite get it, it's not gonna ruin the basis and the foundation of everything that you have, right? It's not gonna ruin that. But what it does is it helps, it can bring things together where then that thing that was sitting on top of your roof that didn't make a lot of sense can then become part of the pillar, right? Because it makes sense, it's always gonna be the same thing. Receiving from God always comes through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, right? But again, right, but we see things with our eyes, we see things physically, we see things naturally, and then when somebody teaches you, you know what, that the reason how you prosper is by giving, and then they give you clear examples of people that have received. It doesn't mean that they prospered, it means that they received, right? In other words, when people think prosperity, what they think is not, you know, because if you receive from God, you have just been prospered, right? But what people want, I should say, is long-lasting prosperity, right? But so long-lasting prosperity without sorrow does not come from giving, right? It doesn't come from giving. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, and that'll help, and then I think we're going to close there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And that was 2 Peter 1 before we were talking about grace and peace multiplied unto you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll tell you right now, especially this first part, I think I'm almost there, right? But I don't quite understand every single bit of it, but I can see how things make sense, right? I just don't want to say anything out of order. But verse number 6 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So here's the one thing that you do understand, and he does talk about it in a second. The bountifulness that he's talking about, God is able to make, right? In other words, the for you to be able to give bountifully, God is able to make, right, the grace in you, everything that you have in you, the life of God on the inside of you, he is able to make that abound towards you in the knowledge of Jesus, right? He's able to do that. So that's established, right? That bountifulness in an expression, in other words, an expression of the bounty or of the riches that you possess comes through the knowledge of Christ. That's a given. That nobody takes me out of that, right? That's how it comes, right? Bountifulness in giving comes from, right, the bounty that is in me. That's where it comes from, right? And we know that God is able to make that abound towards you in the knowledge of him. So he says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, and that's an interesting thing that he says, that your bountifulness, right, is coming from your heart, right? So right there you know that he's also talking about faith, but we'll keep going. As he purposes in his heart, so let him give is italicized, but I think it's fitting. He says, but it says purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that is talking about the reason why you give, right? The reason why you give. So when the churches gave unto Paul because of his preaching the gospel to them, right? That's correct. That's right. Right? That's correct, because they're giving because what they're being taught is faith in Jesus, right? So they're participating with him in that giving and receiving, right? And he says, every man has a purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able, so you see the sequence of this stuff, right? He talks about bounty in giving, right? Or that would be classified under the good works piece, right? And then he says, unto every good work that he was talking about before. He says, every man according as the purpose in his heart, verse number 7, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. You see how it keeps coming about? Abounding and bounty. This excess, right? This excess that Pastor Mike had preached on that one day, right? This super excess, like how this God is able to make the excess that you have in you abound towards you, right? He's able to do that. So he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. In other words, he said, he has given, his righteousness endures forever, right? So what he's talking about there is just one other example. I think that's a third verse that I thought about, right? That says that the bounty, right, is because of righteousness, right? And we've taught many times that I believe it's in Romans also that says that by the righteousness of God we have access into this grace in which we stand. That the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That grace works by righteousness, right? That grace abounds because of righteousness. So there's a lot obviously that we can know because of the righteousness that we have through Jesus Christ that was given to us, right? You can see why this gives us access into what the grace in which you stand, right? In the grace in which you stand. So in verse number 10, he says, now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for food and multiplies your seed sown and increases what? The fruit of your righteousness. The fruit of your righteousness increases the fruit of your righteousness. He's attributing all of this bounty as being fruits of your righteousness, right? But somehow that's not taught. Somehow we stop way up in verse number 8 or 7, right? And we don't allow the Lord to teach us correctly the source. So we have camps then that believe in prosperity and camps that don't. Churches that believe that God wants you rich and exclude the fact that it is because of the power of God and because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But then, and then all the churches that talk about, oh no, God just wants you humble and he wants you poor. But you know what? They're both wrong. They're both wrong, because what's missing in both camps, right, is not forgetting that it is me. You know, like that's I've had that just so loud in my mind, you know, that it is I. You know, like God's saying, it's because of what I've done. It's because of what I've done. It's because of what I've done, but you've forgotten. It's because of what I've done, but you've forgotten. So you think it's being humble and poor? You've forgotten. So you think that it's all about giving that makes you rich? You have forgotten, right? And yes, you have built homes, or yes, you have lived a humble life, but you have forgotten. So either way, what's the problem? They have forgotten They have forgotten who it is that saved them. They have forgotten who it is that is their prosperity, right? Who it is that is their prosperity. So when you hear, you know, Pastor Mike mentioned something, and I keep referencing that message because I think it was a very good message, right? When he said that, you know, not to be ashamed of the gospel, speaking about prosperity, you know, you try to reconcile that as, like, what are you talking about? I thought not being ashamed of the gospel was just making sure you always told people, you know, I believe in Jesus, even if it meant that they were going to kill you, because that's how people interpret that, right? But it's not about confessing Jesus, right, to the end. It's about believing what the gospel says. It's about faith in Jesus and attributing things to the finished work of Jesus Christ, regardless of what it is. In other words, if there are things that I may not understand and can't explain to everybody if I'm asked, let's say, any number of questions. But one thing that I will know is I may not understand exactly how that happened, but I know how it didn't happen. I know that it didn't happen any other way, that no one receives anything from God except through faith in Jesus Christ. And I may not understand every single verse on how to explain that to you, but I know what the end result is going to be. That as the Lord is teaching us more and more, we're going to begin to understand exactly. That's just another example of receiving through faith. Another example of receiving the same way. Another example of receiving the same way that we were saved. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. You know, I brought up Hezekiah just to tell you that as he was, as the Lord had promised him, he says, you know, in wherever you go and in whatever you do. It's just an interesting thing. That the fact that he called Nehushtan, right, which is, I think all that means is a thing of brass. I'm not entirely sure of the meaning there, but in other words, what he did is he singled out the serpent on the pole and destroyed it. You know, something that God used, he destroyed it, right? Something that God used, he destroyed it. And you know, sometimes, you know, honestly, sometimes, I wish that, sometimes I wish, you know, in that there would be a way to just stop the church, which obviously you don't want people to do. You don't want to stop people from sharing with a ministry that they're receiving from. But because of the fallacies that you hear within the church, you almost want to find a way to just stop all giving and just let people first learn and then give, right? Because that's why we tell people, you know what, if this is your first time here, you know, it's probably better that you don't even give, because we don't even know where your knowledge is, and you don't even know if you agree with what's being said. So give when you know that what you're receiving is from God, then give, right? Because then your giving makes sense, right? You're giving as a matter of blessing. You're giving out of knowledge. You're giving out of wisdom, right? So you want people, when people give, you want them to give out of wisdom, not to give out of compulsion, not to give because they were pressured into doing it, right? But because they want to do it, right? Because they want to give because of what they've been receiving, right? So other than that, honestly, what other reason is there to give to a ministry? What other reason is there to give to a person if it were not because of they're sharing? You are giving because you receive. And unfortunately, we have a thing where we give to a need. So if you see a need, you know, save the dog, save the cat, save the children, you know, we'll just give to anybody. And you don't really actually know what they're doing with that. You don't really actually know the integrity of that organization. You don't really know exactly who you're getting in bed with, for lack of a better word. In other words, you don't know who you're coming into intimacy by sharing what you have with them. Because that is intimacy, right? You're giving of what you have to them. You're sharing with them, right? So sharing is not a minute, small thing. Sharing is an important thing, and how you share and why you share is an important thing, right? So I tell you all that because, you know, the fact that he destroyed that serpent on a pole was should have been such a loud indication to the people that were worshiping this brass thing, right? That he said, you know what, it's just a corruptible thing, right? We should never lift up finances within the church to exalt it like finances mean godliness, which is another thing, obviously, that I was interpreting and learning. I'm not saying that the people that were teaching it, is that that's what they were trying to get me to see, right? But that's what I was seeing. If you're godly, you're rich. If you're poor, then you're not godly, right? Because godly people, they prosper, right? And is it true that God, he said it himself, I am able to make all grace abound to you so that you having always all sufficiency, right? But it doesn't mean that everybody that you see so-called with all sufficiency got it through the Lord, right? And it doesn't mean that if they did get it from God, in other words, if they have been receiving from the Lord, that they're understanding it correctly. But it is important for us, right, not to live by sight, but live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
ReformInUs.com